figure this out before we go live.
I know. It's just, that's just how it's going to be. We're just always going to be on the wrong sides until time comes where I'm here first. But anyway, welcome to Tag Talk, guys. This is going to be my favorite Tag Talk in a long time. I am feeling like I'm not here in my brain. But you know what? That's okay, because I was going to feel this way anyway, regardless of my health. So here we are. I'm Kylie. This is Haley. And this Tag Talk, we're going to talk about Night of Champions a little bit. We're going to talk about Double or Nothing a lot of it. And it's going to be a lot of fun because the Elite is, you know.
Yeah, did something big happen yesterday or this weekend?
Did it? I don't know. I feel like... Listen, guys, we're going to talk a little bit about Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal and FTR because I feel like we're obligated. We're obligated. Yeah. But it's also like, you know what? I feel like we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. And that's that. I did never queued up my We Are Live tweet. So I'm going to do that right now. Okay. But before I do that, we have a very, very generous super chat from our friend Matt, who says, because of my business partners on the Fightful main channel, I'm not at liberty to say how awesome Haley and Kylie are. So who does Kenny enlist at Forbidden Door to deal with the BCC? This is an interesting thing to start with. So I thank you, first of all, for the super chat. And thank you also for bringing this up. Because at the end of Double or Nothing, Kenny, this wasn't on the pay-per-view, but Kenny got on the mic and he basically said that he's going to bring in two non-AEW friends to help them with the BCC. I think a lot of people assumed the BCC Elite feud would be done at Double or Nothing. Haley and I did not. I don't remember when we talked about it, but we had a plan.
Yeah.
And this was step one. So Haley and I know what we're doing. But that's really, really interesting because at the end of the show, people were chanting Ibushi.
Yeah.
And I think Ibushi is like, basically, yeah, I mean, that's the obvious choice for Kenny Omega. But the fact that it's two non-AEW friends, because for some reason, Don Callis needs someone opposite him. Just a little bit of a segue. I was thinking about it last night after the show. I was just like brushing my teeth and I was like, you know what? Don Callis doesn't need to be in the BCC. But I love the idea of him having this inflated sense of self-importance and Jon Moxley just letting him tag along like a little puppy. Being like, oh my God, okay, Don, well, here we go. And Don's like, I'm so excited to be here. You're such a great wrestler, Jon. I just love that. I think it'd be fun. I just
want to see them turn on him in the end.
Yeah.
That'll make
I also love the Takeshita just so casually. Listen, Haley, we have to tell. I'm in a mood. At the beginning of Double or Nothing, like literally, I didn't even, hours before the Takeshita thing happened, Haley and I were like, this cameraman is really sus.
We literally, I texted her because I was like, there's something so weird about this, but like, I've seen him on like other pay-per-views and stuff before. So I was like, maybe it's the same person and I'm just like being cuckoo, like literally crazy. But I texted her and I was like, listen, you're gonna think I'm crazy, but this cameraman is sus. And she was like, I was literally just saying that to my sister. And I was like, it's true. Listen,
the way he squatted down to film Adam Cole getting that fire extinguisher, I was like, that's suspicious. That is not how that cameraman moves. And I know how that cameraman moves because I studied him closely when we all thought he was Claudio. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, and also I love that the cameraman reveal happened in a match with Claudio. Thought it was great. But I think Ibushi, back to the question, I think Ibushi is like a shoo-in for that. I don't know who else, though. Like, a lot of people saying Okada, maybe, because the BCC, well, Moxley and Claudio are teaming with Shota Umino against Okada and company. So maybe Okada? That'd be kind of fun.
But also, on New Year's, Omega and Okada team together, so.
That's true. And it was a great match, first of all. Haley and I talked about it, if you want to go back and watch that. And we talked about it. Of course we did. We would never miss something like that. But I think it's, like, really interesting. And Double or Nothing, I mean, we'll talk about it. But I think Forbidden Door is going to be an excellent show because there's a lot of talent that were injured last year who aren't. And so I think we're going to have some fun with it. But thank you for the question. If you guys have a question or a comment or something that you want read on air, make sure to submit a super chat. We'll read them. We're just going to have a good time and vibe today. We're going to talk about BTE a little bit. We're going to talk about Night of Champions specifically, you know, the Bloodline, and then we'll get into Double or Nothing and what a controversial show Double or Nothing was.
Oh, listen, you guys, before we get there, I just want to say, and like, if you guys watch the show, you probably know, I wasn't really that excited. There were a couple of matches that I wanted to see, but like, overall, the card, I was like, this is not for me, you know? And I was watching the show, and I'm like, man, am I just being sour, or is this, like, not for me? Like, I don't know what's going on. I just couldn't get into it. Like, I don't know if it's just because the crowd wasn't mic'd up right, like it hasn't been lately, or what it was, but I was just not into it. But then, you know what? The House of Black, the Acclaimed, the women's match, Jade and Taya, really turned it around for me. So
we'll talk about
that later, but I just had to say that.
You know what? We should start with Night of Champions and then do BTE and AEW at the same time. So Night of Champions, I'm going to be honest, guys. I do not watch Saudi Arabia shows. I just can't get through them. Yeah. It's my own personal thing. But I did go and I watched this angle, which if you, I don't remember which tag talk it was, but in the past, Haley and I had talked about how weird it was for Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa to be challenging for the titles. And I still felt it was weird. And I think the weirdness came through in this match. But we're starting to see the cracks in the Bloodline. Finally, it's not the angle I had hoped for, because I think we had all hoped for the end of the Bloodline to, one, more heavily involve Sammy. And he was there, but he's not there. You know what I mean? And two, I thought that Roman losing the belt was going to turn him into some like brutal dictator type thing. And that is where we would get that. But we didn't. But this was okay. It was fine. It did its job. I'm excited to see where we go from here with Jimmy and Roman. I don't know. The Bloodline has just been coasting for so long that I'm hesitant to buy into it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I kind of am. Is that bad to say? Like, I feel like for such a long time, it was stale for me. Like, it got really old really fast. And then, you know, Sammy came along and it was like a breath of fresh air into the angle. And then I was like, okay. But listen, this, I was swerved. Okay. I was like, you know, it has to be Jay. Like, it's going to be Jay. And it was not Jay. Jimmy kicked Roman. I was so shocked. And I don't know if that's like me being naive, but listen, I didn't expect it, but I kind of like it.
Yeah. And I like a little bit of unpredictability in my wrestling angles. Also, if you hear an ice cream truck, you're not crazy. There's an ice cream truck outside of my house right now. It's summer in Florida. That's what you do. But back to wrestling. I'm interested to see where it goes from here, because the whole Cody Brock thing, I think a lot of people, when like their fantasy booking, you know, the Bloodline, Cody and Brock is so central to a lot of people's theories about where we go. Cody beats Roman at WrestleMania next year, but like they're in two different islands. Like Cody's on a different brand. Yeah. So there's all these obstacles to get through. And there's a lot of ways they could go with the end of the Bloodline. If they end the Bloodline, they could totally keep the Bloodline going. That's like totally plausible. I'm not sure it'd be the best route, but they could. Roman being champion for the next year, basically. It's only been a month since WrestleMania, which is wild. But I don't know. I'm like, we're walking on thin ice, I feel like. Because to me, they had a shoe and angle ending at WrestleMania. They had so much they could do with it, and they didn't. So now I'm like, oh, I'm so iffy about it. I'm excited because I love the Usos not being little lapdogs. If you know, and you know, Solo Sikoa is there and he's teaming with Roman, which is of course great. There's just other things in WWE that I think I like more. Which sucks.
And like, I understand the hesitation because like I'm kind of in the same spot. Like I feel like you just get burned a lot, especially with WWE storylines.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I kind of like what we've seen so far and how this is going. Obviously we'll see what happens on, you know, SmackDown and stuff, but I don't know, like something about Jay, like Jimmy forcing Jay to have to pick between his brother and Roman is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy was like, I'm doing something that like you couldn't do. And like, I don't know. I think that that's really interesting. I like that.
Yeah. And we don't often, at least in this current era of WWE, we don't get these kind of stories. These, you know, relatable emotional stories. I think a lot of WWE stories are, if they do touch on sort of real issues, they're a little bit more lighthearted to suit the audience that watches WWE. So I'm excited about it. I am, maybe I'm not so much, I'm not down on the bloodline. Maybe I'm a little bit down on Roman Reigns. I'm still a little bit bitter about WrestleMania. But regardless, also, listen, I'm going to be straight up honest, and we're not going to harp on Cody for a long time, but what are we doing? A broken arm storyline? I don't like it. And the Cody needs adversity thing, now they're giving him fake broken arms to give him adversity. Oh, boy. It's just a lot.
It's certainly a thing. It is.
It's Cody-verse. It's so Cody-verse, and Cody lives for this kind of stuff. But, like, someone needs to look him in the eye and tell him, Cody, this is a little bit too far. You're gonna fake a broken arm. It's 2023. It's not, oh, my God, this is going to be so offensive to people. It's 2023. It's not 1980. Like, we've come a long way. So, I don't know. And Brock, though. Brock was great at Night of Champions. Overall, WWE and AEW, I would say, are in, like, a weird kind of middle crossroads area, no pun intended.
I'm surprised you said that, you know, because a lot of people were telling you specifically that, like, you know, to keep the same energy about AEW and WWE. And look, you're doing it.
If you guys follow me on Twitter, last week, there were so many people telling me that I was like letting AEW slide and I was letting AEW get away with things that I shouldn't. And I'm like, who do you think I am? Do you watch my shows? Like, and not just Tag Talk.
Like, even if you don't watch Tag Talk or any other podcast or anything you do, like, you're very public about it online. So, yeah. I don't know. It's funny.
I don't know. It's a little bit weird. But overall, I think Night of Champions was a good show. I don't like Saudi shows. I don't necessarily appreciate that they're there, but I do think Triple H's era makes the most of it because they're obligated to be there. They do what they have to do. They get in, they get out. Good. That's all I have to say. about WWE.
Yeah. That's fine. But you know what we did get today is a new episode of BTE. And I have to say, I was excited. I was like, you know, what are we going to get this week? And we did get some things, a lot of Dark Order stuff in this episode, which I was really excited about.
Me too. And Best Friends.
Yes.
Yes.
So the Dark Order are basically trying to find a way to kind of reinvent the Dark Order, and they're recruiting again, and they attempt to recruit the Best Friends, and the Best Friends are like, well, we already have this group, like, we have Orange, we have Chris, we have Chaos in Japan, like, we have all of these things, like, do you want all of us? And the Dark Order is basically like, yes, like, we want all of you. And they're like, well, no. But that's not going to stop the Dark Order. They are heavily pursuing Best Friends, and I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I think because they're both groups, I should say, are kind of goofy, but in two different ways.
Yeah.
I think they're just like a match made in heaven for being the elite. I don't know if it translates to actual, you know, AW story stuff. I wish it would, because I think it'd be a lot of fun. And I think trios wise, I think that's, you know, a shoe and five-star trios match with that group. I do, and I've said it for like a long time, I feel like Dark Order needs to recruit, just because Stu is in ROH doing stuff, not really in AW, and then it's just three. But it's like they don't do trio stuff really, and they're just kind of there. So I'm excited for it. And I hope that if not trios, I hope that we see both groups in the tag division. Because if this weekend showed anything, it's that the AW tag division is in a rough spot. The FTR Jarrett Lethal match was it was a sleeper until the end, with the guitars and Karen Jarrett and, you know, all that.
I mean, I will say, listen, Karen Jarrett really carried this match. Okay. Like she really, she carried it. I'll just say.
She did.
I'm going to give her flowers. She did.
And I appreciated it because it needed it.
Yeah, absolutely did.
It wasn't, and here's the thing, and just like overall Double or Nothing thoughts. I don't feel like Double or Nothing was a dumpster fire of a show. Yeah. And a lot of people have said it was. I think, and you know, in retrospect, going back and watching, I could see what they were trying to do with a lot of things. They're trying to be a little bit different. They're trying to experiment with new things, probably because the Collision show is coming and they're trying to figure out where stylistically the shows will be, who will be where, all that sort of stuff. But the show didn't feel like AEW until Jade Cargill. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem to me because you can't have... AEW's always been variety, but it's always felt like AEW regardless of what it was. But you can't have this stuff if, let's say, FTR does and Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal do this stuff all the time and it's on Collision. Collision is going to look really different from Dynamite. Yeah. So it's... And I think the crowd reactions kind of, you know, prove that. So Forbidden Door is going to be really interesting. The lead up to Forbidden Door in terms of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I can appreciate AEW always wanting to kind of push the envelope and do really creative things on their pay-per-views and really send the fans home with really happy with like a really good show. But I feel like the first half of the pay-per-view was a little overbooked. No pun intended. It was very clunky.
Fightful overbooked?
it was very clunky. And it was just kind of hard to get into. But like you said, it really picked up with Jade and Taya and that whole thing. Which I have my thoughts on, but that's for a different show.
Yes, but back to being the Elite. We had Dark Order, we had Best Friends, and we had the Elite, who I loved their little backstage segments looking all sad and lonesome. Hangman at the airport looking sad and lonesome was interesting. I don't know where... Okay, so I'm presuming that the Elite stay feuding with the Blackpool Combat Club.
And,
you know, Kenny Omega and his mystery friends, whoever that might be. Which, are they Kenny Omega's friends, or are they friends of the Elite?
That's a great question. Like, are we being thrown off course? Like, is it not?
Yeah. Like, does Hangman have friends that...
Are we being gaslit?
Is this psychological?
Oh, there we go. You were frozen for a sec.
You were frozen on mine. Oh, we're back, though.
They want us to stop, see?
I know.
Every time we go live, there's always
I know. It's just... It's
anyway.
Brutal out here.
Anyway.
Finish what you were saying.
I wasn't saying anything. You were talking.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I'll come up with something then. I wasn't...
Well, I don't remember what I was saying. Like... Are they Kenny's friends or are they Elite's friends? Are they the Elite's friends?
Oh, yeah.
And have, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like it's the story being that the Elite are back together and, like, totally fine is cool. But I think that there's still tension there. Mm-hmm. So I'd like them to explore that internally as the Elite. And I think there were teases of that in the match, the Anarchy in the Arena, you know, Hangman accidentally hitting Kenny, some communication issues, so on in the match. So I'm excited about that part. And I think on being the Elite, they definitely alluded to that. I did expect more about the Elite in being the Elite. But regardless, Dark Order and Best Friends doing things together, I'm so here for it. And I'm really excited. Like, Double or Nothing was mid, but like moving forward, there's so many incredible things that they can do. Speaking of incredible things, I just wanted to shout out House of Black and the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, because the entire show, and I tweeted this a couple times and I texted it to Haley. We're in a group chat. I was texting her in the group chat and I was like, where's House of Black? Like the like the show was lagging, and I was like, "Where's House of Black? Where's Julia?"
No, but they. I'm telling you, when they came out and the Acclaim came out, I was like, "Okay, they're gonna change the direction of the show," and they started to. And I don't know. I just,
yeah.
I was really down about the Acclaims losing the titles. For a long time, I felt like they didn't need to at the time. But, you know, I feel like they don't need the titles. They're over. Fans love them. And they were the perfect act to throw in that spot. Because I feel like a lot of people were tuning out. Going to sleep, literally.
Yeah, this crowd. So, it... I think if you watched at home, the crowd was, like, quiet.
Yeah.
And then... Oh, no.
This is ridiculous.
What is happening to us?
No.
Okay, am I back?
Yes.
Okay. I know, guys. I know. I don't know what's going on. My Wi-Fi is
when there's like bad storms in Florida. Like I feel like you have more internet when there's tornadoes than you do.
This is like my life, guys. This is what we put up with. But I was just saying, I think if you watched at home, the Double or Nothing crowd was like quiet and not great. There were people who were actually there who said that their section was super, super loud, and super energetic and what have you. But there were also people who said that it was really quiet and not a great crowd. So I don't know actually how good the crowd was, if they were mic'd poorly, if they were just bad. I don't know. But I think a lot of matches really did suffer because of the crowd, to be honest. But the Acclaimed. When the Acclaimed's music hit and Max Caster did his rap.
That rap.
That rap was a lot.
There was so much. Like... he would say something and I would giggle, and then he would say something and it would get worse. I was like, I don't know if I should be laughing. Like, what the heck is going on?
But you know what? I'm here for it because we needed it.
We did.
But the match was really good. The Acclaimed were great, as always. House of Black was great, as always. I am ready for the House of Black, though, to get like a real serious feud for Forbidden Door. And I would like to see that established Wednesday. Because we don't have a whole lot announced for this Dynamite. But I'm hoping that we'll just, like, because the show, I mean, the pay-per-view was kind of mid and people know it was kind of mid, I'm hoping they really go all out for Dynamite and make a great show and really, really get the ball rolling on a lot of things. So I'm hoping House of Black falls into the category of getting the ball rolling, especially with Collision coming up in a few weeks and House of Black is, you know, on the posters for Collision and whatever. I think we need to get some stuff planned. If we're going to have a new show, it has to have things. You can't just, you know, throw CM Punk out there and be like, hello, this is Collision. It's CM Punk. And then we'll just figure out stories from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I guess I'm kind of feeling the same about the tag division as well. Because I was under the assumption that Aussie Open would eventually take the titles off of FTR and they would stay on Dynamite and whatever. But are they moving to Collision? Like, what's happening? I don't know.
Yeah, we're definitely going to need some clarity. And I don't know how they'll do it. We don't need, like, a draft situation. Mm-hmm. But we do need, like, some indication of who is going to be Dynamite, who's going to be Collision. Because if they're doing a brand split, I would like to know what I'm getting on Wednesday and what I'm getting on Saturday. Like, I don't want to have to tune in and, like, tally off. Okay, like, I'm taking attendance, like a teacher. Okay, I'm taking attendance here. Oh, there's the Young Bucks. I don't want to have to do that. So maybe, like, just a graphic, or maybe, like, on the AW roster website, like, something that says Dynamite, Collision, whatever, something, because we need it. But I'm excited about it. House of Black and FTR are in this weird spot where they feel directionless.
And that's scary because they're your champions.
Yes. And major stars too. Like, we're not talking about like some low card rando. Like, this is FTR and the House of Black. So We need direction there. I like, it's weird to me. It's like Double or Nothing was definitely like two completely different shows. Like at the end, you had these incredible stories with, you know, Chris Statlander returning and, you know, Jade being dethroned and going off. And I'm presuming she's going to work with someone, you know, up on the card. I don't know. I don't know if Jade goes to Collision or not. I've been thinking about it for a few days. I really don't know. But regardless, I'm presuming she's, maybe she'll get involved with the homegrown thing. I have no idea, but she's on to bigger and better things. And then you had the Pillars match. The Pillars match was excellent. And coming out of that, you have MJF still champion, but like a lot of stories there. Like they have direction. Those people have direction. And the, you know, the Elite In-House and BCC, like that's AEW. Like that is their mainstay. That's their bread and butter, is that feud. So of course they have direction. But it's like so many people who are important just are just there. Like it's, and I don't want to be too overly critical about this show because at the end of the day, it wasn't awful, but this Dynamite has a lot of work to do to like fill in some gaps, I think.
I agree. I don't know. I feel like a lot of it, and I don't want to blame the Elite, but I feel like a lot of it may have been due to that kind of feud and like getting them back on track, getting that story back on track, and the stuff with Hangman. Like, I feel like maybe that is what kind of took up a lot of time. But I hope now that, the first phase of that is kind of out of the way, we get back on track now.
I just want to address this. They said it'd be a soft brand split and the titles will be free flowing. Well, yeah, the titles free flowing thing has been, you know, the idea floating around for like since Collision was rumored. But if you're going to have champions, they have to have feuds. And you can, in my opinion, it's a bad idea to have feuds going back and forth between Dynamite and Collision that are the same feuds. Like if, I don't know, Britt Baker is feuding with Toni Storm, she doesn't need to be featured on both shows, if that makes sense. Like the beauty of Collision is that you get more. You don't get, just get Dynamite again. You know what I mean?
It's like Rampage too. Like that, to me, that would almost feel like a baby Rampage. Like they already have that where kind of the Dynamite stories flow over onto Rampage a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So I just feel like Collision has to be like its own thing.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at, is that we need structure there. Mm-hmm. And I think Double or Nothing proved that we need structure. But overall the tag was like fine. The trios was fine. But it's not what I'm used to from AEW. And just looking back at tag matches or tag title matches, sorry, and trios feuds from the last 2 years or so, where like those are clear deficits in AEW. And I don't know what the problem is. And like Haley and I talked about this on Twitter. It feels like the show, apart from the Battle Royal, which was excellent, highly recommend, loved it. It feels like the show was front-loaded with matches that people were already iffy about the story and the booking and everything. And then the end was great. But it's whoever paced the card, like there's problems there. And even matches that I expected to maybe not deliver, but be fine, like Chris Jericho and Adam Cole, didn't interest me at all. Like they dragged.
And I love Adam Cole. I really couldn't.
Yeah. And it's going to continue because on Dynamite, we're getting a mixed tag, which is Chris Jericho and Saraya versus Adam Cole and Britt Baker, which why we're continuing it, I don't know. It's kind of annoying, to be honest. I don't necessarily understand why it's happening, but apart from the fact that Chris Jericho loves his feuds to go on 6 months past when they should end.
It's true.
It's true. And it's like, I like mixed tags because I think they, you know, we never really get to see, you know, men and women in AEW working together like that. But it's also like, I'm done with it. Like, okay, Britt Baker, she's going to get a kendo stick and she's going to beat Chris Jericho. I saw it already.
Honestly, though, I want to see more of Britt like that. Like, I kind of liked it. Yeah, like, I kind of liked the tease of that. Like, I don't know.
It's interesting because I definitely do think we're still going for a hater Britt Baker split. They've been teasing Britt's jealousy. We're still going there, even though Jamie Hayter lost the title and she's injured. Apparently she's, you know, been beat up for a long time. I still think we're going there. I don't know how they'll pull it off. I don't know what the story will be, but that would be an interesting little wrinkle in Britt Baker's character if she's just like insane.
I agree. And I agree with the Jamie and Britt stuff. I feel like I've been on that horse for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And every time I think they're going to pull the trigger, I'm like, oh, they're going to do it. Like, she's going to turn. And they never do. But this time I feel like maybe. Because I feel like it's the biggest women's match they could do.
It is.
Especially at All In, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I don't know what, like, looking ahead, I don't know what the resolution is to the Outcasts versus Homegrown story. Presumably Blood and Guts, but now I feel like the Elite Blackpool Combat Club is going to Blood and Guts. And are we going to do, we could do double Blood and Guts. I'd be here for it. You could like start the show with the women and end the show with the men. Like we could totally do double Blood and Guts. I'd be here for it. But with Toni Storm as champion, I think I almost expect there to be issues within the Outcasts. Especially from Saraya, because she picked Toni Storm to be in the Outcast, and now Toni Storm is the champion and not Saraya. So I expect there to be issues there. And of course, you know, Britt and Jamie have issues. And then also, like, where are all the other homegrown people? Where are they at?
Just occasionally pop up. Like,
it's like, hi, I'm Sky Blue. And then she's gone.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll only help you this one. She's like, I gotta go.
My promo time in my matches. Like,
and Willow's like, oh, I gotta go to do New Japan.
I gotta go do champ things, you know?
I got obligations. I got things to do. They gotta sort that out. They gotta figure out who's gonna be where. But I wouldn't be opposed to it, Double Bun and Guts, the more I think about it. I think it'd be a little bit of a fun thing. But the women's division is in a good spot, I think, overall. In terms of the talent they have and the direction they're going, I think both titles have, after Double or Nothing, I should say, both titles have progressed, especially the TBS title. Like, we're finally getting movement there. So I'm excited. I'm into it. I'm not into the mixed tag. I guess that's my final thought on that.
I'm the same. And, you know, not to keep, like, harping on the women's division, but I feel like for a long time we were kind of like down on them, you know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't connecting with us, whatever, but they're in a really good spot right now, and I'm excited to kind of see where they go from here, especially with Jade. I thought she looked fantastic. I loved her gear, loved her entrance. I think that this defense was probably her best defense in her reign, period, and I think it was the best of both the matches that she had with Taya. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see where they go with Jade.
Yeah, I definitely thought this was probably her best match in AEW. Yeah. I loved this match, but we're in a good spot. So FTR at the end of their match, they go backstage. For some reason, they run into Bullet Club Gold harassing Ricky Stark. And they defend Ricky, and I have thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
Well, I guess I should, okay. So, so after the match, I was like, okay, is somebody gonna come out? Like, are we gonna get something here or no? And we didn't, but I was like, I was looking ahead to kind of Forbidden Door and like what they could do there. And, like, Kylie and I were talking about it, and I was like, okay, but what if they pull from Impact and do Ace and Chris Bay? Like, I would love to see that match.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then they go backstage, and there's Bullet Club Gold, and I'm like, Bullet Club adjacent, like, Bullet Club versus Bullet Club? Like, I don't know. Now I have a wide range of thoughts.
Shout out to Kate. We love Kate.
Oh,
you never do well. You lead us exactly where we're supposed to be.
The best episode we've ever done was the episode last week when Kate.
I love to watch it, guys. It's almost 2 hours, but like once Kate comes in, it's like chaos and madness. It's anarchy on Fightful Overbooked. But Bullet Club Gold is really, I'm a little like concerned because I do think the Impact thing is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like the Bullet Club Gold name, but from the Battle Royal, they made it pretty far, but they didn't make it to where I thought they would.
Oh yeah.
I thought that like Jay would be the last one.
Oh yeah.
I predicted Swerve would win it because I think they're really high on him. But I expected Jay to be there, but he wasn't. So I'm not sure that he's still feuding with Ricky Starks, I guess. I'm not sure where FTR fits into it. And I don't want Ricky to get overshadowed by FTR in some weird, you know, Bullet Club Gold FTR feud. I don't want him to be like the side piece to that. And I'm not sure. I just don't know. And I love Bullet Club Gold versus FTR because I think that is an infinitely better feud than some of the other options they have, like Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. but it's the setup is like, I guess it's this angle, this with Ricky.
Yeah.
That's what's really tripping me up. And I get it. And Haley and I have, you know, both talked about this. I really do think that FTR versus Aussie Open was the goal, especially with Aussie Open being signed. Of course, you know, that didn't happen. So this is like a nice little second best, I guess. There's like New Japan vibes with it. Poor Ricky. Like Jay White versus Ricky Starks is a better feud for Ricky Starks and Jay White, I think.
I agree. And then it begs the question of like, okay, is it going to be a trios thing? Like, do we see ELP then? Because there were teases of that online. Like, is that the direction that we're going? I don't know.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know. I trust the process because these are all like super talented guys, and I don't feel like there's any weak links. And I think if anybody's going to make sure he doesn't get overshadowed in this feud, it's Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see the connection between FTR and Ricky besides FTR being like, you know, little country gentleman saving poor Ricky. I don't know. I guess that's where we're going. I don't know. But ultimately, I do think Bullet Club, I think, has faded from the consciousness of a lot of North American wrestling fans. And Bullet Club Gold is a little strange. Bullet Club and Impact is a little strange. But if we can tie it together somehow, and we can make it work at Forbidden Door, then it doesn't matter that Bullet Club is lame in Japan, because Bullet Club isn't lame in North America, and we can just pretend.
Period. Why not? But I also wanted to bring up, while we're kind of talking about Bullet Club Gold, we also kind of saw a little bit of Jay versus Penta. And I was like, man, that'd be such a good match, the Lucha Bros versus Bullet Club Gold. That'd be so good.
Yeah, the Lucha Bros, I think there's a lot of mileage in the Lucha Bros, as, you know, in Ring of Honor, of course. But I think it's so weird because they've had a lot of really great matches in AW.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of actual stories that are the Lucha Bros and not Death Triangle, like they apart from the Young Bucks, like the Lucha Bros haven't had a defining feud. You know what I mean? I think they're long overdue for something. Their tag title run was, I think, it was fine. But I think that they're due for something, you know, really substantial. I think they really have been forgotten about in the tag division. At FTR Lucha Bros, that's a great match. And I think that could be a great feud. Bullet Club Lucha Bros. I think you get a lot of unique matchups out of that. There's a lot of ways they could go with it. But I think ultimately what the Battle Royal proved is that AEW is so stacked with talent that there's no excuse for Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal to get another shot at the next pay-per-view. If they get another tag title shot at the next pay-per-view, a trio shot at the next pay-per-view, a TNT title shot, and an international title shot, I don't care what it is. If they are in a title picture, again, I'm going to lose my mind. I am going to go actually crazy. I'll just be like catatonic. Like, I'll just be dead. Like, I cannot do it again.
And, like, Kylie and I were joking about it, but I was like, man, if Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal win, I don't think we're going to be able to come back to Tag Talk. Like, I think tomorrow's episode may be the last, and we're going to have to retire.
I tweeted that if they won, we were retiring. We were done. If I had to come on here and talk about Jeff Jarrett winning the AEW World Tag Team titles in 2023, I'd have retired. I would have signed in my letter of resignation. I would have called Jeremy Lambert and retired. It would have been true. I was like, there's no way. And listen, there were a couple near falls where I was like, no way.
You really no had way. For a sec.
I was like, no chance. No chance. But FTR winning is the, like, the right choice. And I'm glad they did. But like, I was scared. I'll admit, guys, I was scared. I was scared for a little bit. Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal have no business being AEW Tag Team Champions. Especially when we just got through the title reign of the Guns. Like, if we went Guns, FTR, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, like, that would have been, like, my last straw. I would have just, I would have quit wrestling. I would go watch NWA.
I'd be like, I like something. Today, I think, absolutely not. I got my.
I would have called Billy Corgan and been like, hey, you know some wrestling I can watch? Because I cannot watch Jeff Jarrett. Listen, I've had beef with Jeff Jarrett since I was a toddler. I just, there's something about him. I just feel like the animosity is there.
So what she's saying is we're never going to have Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal as guests on Tag Talk.
Listen, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I could confront him on camera. Like, Jeff Jarrett, no. I'll have my whiteboard under my desk. I'll make, like, a list of offenses. No. Also, Kate, no, I'm not okay. That's the reason that I'm not okay. But, I think Jeff Jarrett is less okay. Listen.
Okay.
And Kate was the one who yesterday on Twitter said Jeff Jarrett is, like, human Ambien. So, you don't get to talk. But yeah, I did buy into a lot of the near falls. It was like an okay match, and I'll have to go back and rewatch it because the entire time I was like so annoyed that it's Jeff Jarrett. I was like, oh, this is Jeff Jarrett. And I spent more time on Twitter talking to Haley than I did watching the match. I did. I was like, and Kate. I talked to Kate a little bit too, but I'll have to go back and rewatch it. But FTR, and I guess if you compare FTR this time last year to FTR now, it's like there's some, it's, I don't really know.
Night and day.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the problem is. Like, their music hits and they get a pop, of course, but it's not like last year's pops that they were getting. And I think Forbidden Door is a great place to revitalize a lot of people in AEW. I said it on Twitter, I think Ethan Page should get like a good singles opponent for Forbidden Door, really get, and Hook. Really get like these undercard guys going to fill in spots, especially if you're going to have a new show. They really need, you know, some mid-card stars. And I think FTR is in that spot. I don't know, like, Aussie Open is like the hole in, that's like the hole in one. That's like the match for them.
Yeah, and they need to give Kyle Fletcher something too.
I know, but it's like, okay, if not Aussie Open, who, I mean, Bullet Club Gold, but like they're not New Japan. That's not Forbidden Door.
That's why I said Impact. But look, because we sat here last year and we put on our clown shoes and we were like, Forbidden Door, like, we're going to have all these promotions. Like, it's going to be AEW, it's going to be Impact, it's going to be New Japan, it's going to be Stardom, it's going to be all of these companies working together. And that's not what we got. And I feel like I need to be realistic about it, but I also can't shake the thought of the Bullet Club.
And it's the weirdest thing because I think it's because the Elite are back together that we're just like, oh my God, Bullet Club. Like, oh, where's Tama Tonga? Like, we have unfinished business with Tama Tonga and the Elite and like most of the Bullet Club and the Elite. And maybe that's where they go. Maybe they do some like Bullet Club configuration. Maybe the Elite and Adam Cole. I don't know. But we're like fantasy booking Forbidden Door now.
that's another episode.
That's another episode. We'll talk about that like more towards Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know this Ricky Starks angle. I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. the Hardys came, and it was the Hardys and Hook, which was a weird matchup, I'm going to be honest. Ethan Page and the Guns, which, oh my God. But if that match proved anything, it's that Hook and Ethan Page are single stars. Absolutely. I do have unfinished business with Tama Tonga, Kate. I do.
That's a headline. Jeremy, run it.
Just like one, just Tama Tonga. Listen, I do. There's so many wrestlers that like they offend me so personally that I just push them from my mind and like the wounds fester. But I do think back to Ethan Page. I do think Ethan Page is so underrated.
Yeah,
and I'm excited. I'm excited. And I know, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. Danielson is, you know, the match, the technical showcase match. But if Danielson is, you know, doing something else, I think Hook Zack Sabre Jr. is a good little match. I'd be into it. I'm just saying.
And I feel like that'd be a really good test for Hook, too.
Yeah, I think Hook is, like, long overdue for something like that.
Yeah, hasn't had a like, long extended feud like that. And
he hasn't.
That.
And it's really a shame because I feel like Hook should have I feel like he should have advanced, you know, past where he is now. Not that I feel like he's overrated because I think Hook is an incredible talent and, you know, his debut and that rookie run he had, incredible. But like AEW needs to do something now. You can't just keep putting Hook in matches and letting him be cool and then just be like, oh, like you had Hookhausen.
And you had like, Jungle Hook. You have all these things. Like people are proving to you that Hook is a draw. Hook is a star. The women love Hook. Everybody loves Hook. Give him something, please.
Yeah.
We are begging.
Like, it is not rocket science.
No.
I feel like, and we're not even asking for, like, crazy things from AEW, which is the wild thing. Like, that's the wildest part of this all, is that AEW used to just give you what you asked for. And now it's like they're fighting the crowd for things. It's like, the crowd does not want this thing. And Tony Khan is like, oh, but I do. So we're just going to do it. And I'm like,
stop. Yeah, it's giving the other company.
But. Very the other company. Quotes. That's a headline. It's giving very the other company. Haley's Double or Nothing review. It's giving very the other company. But yeah, I do think AEW fans can be dramatic.
Oh, I can be. Absolutely. Dramatic. I'm one of them.
Haley can be dramatic. Like, it is what it is. But I also feel like there's some weird stuff. Some weird, you know, stuff happening in AEW that they need to fix. But it's not like, it's not crazy. Like, I don't think the pay-per-view overall is bad. I think ending with the Elite.
Like, AEW is dead because they put on a mid pay-per-view. Like, they can definitely fix it and they'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think, if anything, the main event, the Anarchy in the Arena, which we could talk about now, the Elite and Blackpool Combat Club, which are the stars of AEW, if we're being completely honest, that proved that AEW is fine. The crowd was super into it. AEW knows what to do. And it's stuff like that. And stuff like Jade and Taya. And they just have to do it. You just have to do that. I did love, and I know Haley's going to want to talk about this. There were shades when Kenny and Hangman were in the ring and they were, you know, wrestling as a tag team. There's shades of Kenny and Ibushi. Like, they were doing a lot of things that Kenny used to do with Ibushi. And a lot of, like, Golden Lovers-esque things that I am now... I don't know if Ibushi's going to AEW. I don't know if he's going to show up. I don't know if he's the friend that Kenny is talking about. But clearly, he's on Kenny's mind. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. And, I don't know, the more bang for your buck vibes, like, that's literally one of my favorite moves in wrestling. I love more bang for your buck. But anyway, Anarchy in the Arena. I wanted to add, the beginning of this match was crazy. The music, so much chaos at once. Listen, a great example of what my ADHD brain is like in real life. Like, the music playing and all the chaos, that's what my ADHD is like. I could not focus. It was way too much. Like,
and it was wild because, like, the camera would cut to, you know, Matt Jackson. And then it would cut to someone else and it would cut back to Matt Jackson. He's in a completely different place fighting someone completely
different. He's in the concessions.
He's, like, 2 miles down the road.
Yeah. Just, like, in the back of a pickup.
He's, like, in the bushes. It's just wild. Like, they were moving. They were going for it.
Yeah.
And there was, like, immediate blood. And not even, like, Kenny Omega or John Moxley. It's Rick Knox.
Yeah.
Like, immediate. He's like, I got you guys. We need blood. I'll take one for the team. He blades. And then, you know, Moxley picks him up, and he's, like, bleeding everywhere. I loved it. I know people are iffy about ref bumps and, like, refs getting involved with things like that. But I loved it. I thought it was great. And the music looping, a nice little callback to last year. Listen, I was into it. It kept going and going and going. But it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm emulated. I am ready to be done. And you know what happened once I was ready to be done? The Young Bucks
super came in and they said.
And it was over.
Yeah.
It was perfectly timed. And I tweeted,
thank you, Young Bucks.
Yeah, because we needed that. But this match was full of so many just chaotic things and callbacks, like John Moxley with the poker chip with the barbed wire.
Yeah.
You know, the poker chip that started the Omega Moxley feud, the barbed wire, you know, barbed wire death match. Matt Jackson with his exploding shoes.
Which, can we talk about that for a second?
Yes. I knew you wanted to.
It needs its own moment. Okay. Listen, he hobbled back into that ring. And I was like, okay, he's gonna hit a super kick. Like, we've seen that. And then all of a sudden, like, it just exploded. And I was like, wait, what just happened?
It scared me.
Me too.
I wasn't expecting it. I thought, okay, I've never seen an exploding shoe before. Which is not, it's I feel like that's not an insane thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, but he did it. And it was in Moxley's face.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was scared.
I was in the shades of that match, and I was like, oh no, like, not again, but.
And poor Matt Jackson, he put his feet through the ringer in the show. He was like, abuse my feet, like, ruin them.
Matt Jackson's wiki feet page after Double or Nothing 2023.
I like to think it was a compromise. He's like, look, my bicep is kind of healed. But maybe not all the way. So, like, stay away from my arms. You can have my feet. And they went for it. And the tags ended up being kind of a nuisance in the match because Danielson was doing things and landing in the tags.
Yeah.
And it was, like, tags in his hands, tags in his legs, which, you know, is the risk you take when you use tags. But the shot of the tags in the heel of Matt Jackson's foot. Like, the mouth, whatever. I'll get over it. I don't care about that. The heel. Something about that was insane. And the exploding shoe.
Oh, no.
The exploding shoe. Oh, no.
Why? Oh, no.
I saw you. And Haley said, oh, no. And I just automatically was like, oh, God. What happened?
What, you think you're in trouble or something?
No, like, I just absolutely not. Jeremy with the run-in, you never know what you're getting. I don't know.
Well, listen, I mean, that's very true, honestly. You do never know what you're getting. But I thought this would be the perfect show because you girls are the elite girls. And I'm very angry after last night. I got to say, very angry over Takeshka and what he has done to the elite and siding with Don Callis and turning on Kenny Omega. And do you know how angry I am? I have this. Right? I have this. And I am so angry. Done. We're done with the Cinnabon. Okay? We're done with it. I don't want anything to do with Cinnabon anymore. Takeshka, get it out of here. No more. No more Cinnabon.
Takeshka. Cinnabon boycott.
I will not support Cinnabon anymore after Takeshka's action.
Oh my.
That is a statement, Jeremy. Yes. That is really a statement.
That's a commitment. That's a big really sacrifice brave. You're making really for your brave. Values.
It was really brave of you.
I will do it. I'm elite all the way. The elite. I'm with them all the way. Yeah. I will not support the Cinnabon anymore. Done with it.
I respect it. I'll jump on board on the boycott. I'll commit right here, right now, no Cinnabon.
Thank you.
Haley? I'll do it too. You know?
All right.
I feel like that was sincere. Pressure, but you know what? I'm for the cause.
I'm glad we're all on the same page. That's it. I thought this would be the proper show to do my Cinnabon boycott.
I'm glad you chose us.
Of course. You the elite girls. Why wouldn't I? Tag Talk, the best show on Fightful Overbooked. Everyone, thank you. Takeshka, get out of here, Takeshka. No Cinnabon.
Fighting words. Listen, Jeremy's right, guys. Boycott.
Yeah.
Cinnabon. Let them, you know, let them pay for what Takeshka did. That's their boy.
You know? You know what? Should we get into that now that Jeremy kind of, you know, I feel like it was the elephant in the room, Takeshka, and what happened?
Sure. Sorry, I was reading Kate's comments. I was like, oh God, Kate. But before we do that, I just wanted to say, I thought it was funny that Matt Jackson had his little exploding shoe moment, and Kenny Omega, when it was his turn to have exploding moments, he's like, we're going to surround the ring in explosives. We're going to blow the whole thing up. I just thought that was funny. But Matt's like, here's my little shoe.
But also, I love, because he talked about wanting to do, like, the flaming shoe and the flaming super kick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Janela had kind of done something like that a couple months back. But I feel like this was really innovative, and I did not expect it. I think it was a really cool moment. Yeah, I really liked it. And the pictures that have been posted online from it, they look so mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, and the sneaker fans are really mad.
They're so mad.
I posted a thing on my Twitter, like Matt Jackson was posting on his Instagram story articles that sneaker magazines and outlets were writing about it because it's cool.
Yeah.
And there's fans who were like, is this Shawn Michaels' son?
They're so mad.
This is called Sweet Chin Music. How could you destroy your shoes like that? It's really funny. Really funny. So I posted some on my Twitter if you want to look at them. But I just think Matt Jackson constantly alienating the sneaker fan base.
I love how upset so funny. They get. Like,
they
I
really just, do.
Like, it's such a good bit. And, like, who cares? Like, if they want to spend their money on expensive shoes and explode them in the ring, like, that's their right. And it's cool. So, whatever.
Listen, I'm fine with it. But let's get to Takeshka, because I expected Don Callis and Takeshka to be here. Just because they haven't really been around, and I expected it to happen. And I think once Don Callis turned on Kenny Omega, I think most fans connected Takeshka to the BCC, because last July he bled with Mox. He like earned his spot, which my headcanon is that he's been in the BCC this whole time, but like undercover, incognito, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to choose to believe, whether it's true or not. I don't care. But basically, so the match is going great. You know, the Elite are doing elite things. The BCC is bleeding and covering everybody in their blood. And then Don Callis shows up and he jumps up on the apron and he tries to stop Kenny Omega. And Kenny Omega's like, oh, I finally get to beat you up. Let's go. But Takeshita's there. Takeshita the cameraman.
Which we talked about.
Yeah, we talked about. You can go back and if you didn't see it. And now Takeshita is officially BCC, but Wheeler Yuta pins Kenny Omega.
I thought that was so great for Yuta. Yeah. I love that.
And I think, last week I had said that it's like the BCC is like three of the best wrestlers in the world and Farrell, you know, Wheeler Yuta,
yeah,
the Farrell little brother. And I'm really glad that he got the pin here over Kenny Omega, especially because I feel like it moves him up into the space where the other BCC members are, especially because Kenny Omega has beaten Moxley and Omega Danielson was a draw. So now Wheeler Yuta has something that gets him up there, which I really appreciated because the BCC isn't recruiting a ton of young people like the story was supposed to go. Like, it was just Yuta. He's just there. He really needed that. But yeah, Don Callis, Takeshita in the BCC, Don Callis in the BCC is like not for me, but like I said earlier, I love the idea of them just tolerating him because he's so annoying.
Yeah,
and like gifting Moxley a painting, like the Kenny Omega Don Callis mm-hmm. painting. You know the one I'm talking about? Getting Moxley one, or giving it to Renee. Oh my god, there's so many comedic angles to go with it. You know?
Yeah, it would be kind of great. But yeah, and I think it's been interesting because I guess, like, we've been talking about it for a while and, like, this kind of happening. But to see the public meltdown online, Like, I don't know if we were just prepared, like, overly prepared for this to happen, but people are so upset.
I mean, Takeshita, you know, crossed the line. You know, he betrayed his values.
Of our hearts.
We got that man over simply because we liked him. You know what? And he was great in the ring. And you know what? We cheered for him. And what does he do? He betrays the heart and soul of AEW. Boycott Cinnabon.
Yes. That's the moral of the story. Boycott Cinnabon.
I love Jeremy. Jeremy is so great. You guys like have no idea how great Jeremy is. He's the best. But overall, I feel like Anarchy in the Arena was the highlight of the show.
Yeah.
The feud continues, of course, because Don Callis and Takeshita and Kenny Omega and his mystery friends.
I hate us.
That was like the twins in The Shining. His mystery friends. People on Twitter though have had interesting predictions for these mystery friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of excited about it. I don't know if we do this at Forbidden Door, if like we push it, like, because Forbidden Door, I mean, presumably you would want the Elite versus, you know, someone in New Japan. But I'm excited about it. I'm glad the feud isn't over, which is like a weird thing because I think a lot of times when we get to pay-per-views, I'm ready for the feuds to be done and like we can wrap the story up and move on. But this one, I'm like, I wouldn't mind if this feud continues through the year. Like, but I'm so into it.
There's so much they could do with it. Like, there's so many singles matches that they haven't done. There's so many tag matches that we could still see. Like, there's a lot that you could do with it still.
And you could do weeks, literally weeks, of the BCC terrorizing the Elite because they have the numbers now. They didn't have the numbers because Hangman came back, but now they have the numbers again. And you could do so much of just the Elite getting beaten down and, like, fighting with each other because they're stressed and nervous and they don't know what to do. And whether you bring in Ibushi or not, I think fans expect Ibushi, but if it's not Ibushi, you have to do something to make it clear it's not Ibushi. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm so into it. I really am. And it's weird because I look at something like the JAS and Adam Cole, and I'm like, oh God, please be done. But it's like, I don't know. There's something so special about this Elite BCC feud. There's something so special about both of these groups, I would say. And I also just love heel Danielson being like, you know, the wise sage of wrestling, like walking around covered in blood, like with, you know, looking scraggly like Danielson always does.
Yeah.
Just being absolutely insane. I love it. And Claudio was great in this match. And Claudio going to New Japan. Oh my God, we didn't even talk about Claudio. Claudio's going to New Japan. It's like a six-man tag, but like Claudio in New Japan opens the door for Claudio doing other things in New Japan. And I'm going to be honest, put Claudio in the G1.
Listen. Yes. If I was Danielson, Claudio.
And it's, again, them not putting Danielson or AEW not wanting Danielson in there. I could see them, you know, being iffy about that. But Claudio, listen, stick him in there. Let him have a good run. Moxley got to do it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, I'm writing a letter. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to Tony Khan. And also, I tweeted this, and I'm going to say it just so we stick by it. If Double or Nothing is in Vegas next year, we got to do something, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
We got to organize against that.
We were talking about it because I feel like it's just a product of running the same market, right? But there's so many other places that they could do it. Like, I saw a lot of people saying Atlantic City, like, you could keep the same kind of vibe. Or just, like, anywhere in Jersey, I guess. But Atlantic City. I know Kylie had said Georgia or Atlanta to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, you can kind of flip back and forth between these markets so they don't get stale. And I feel like Vegas is expensive and very touristy and busy and people just don't want to go there. So, you know.
You're right. So we're saying it now. Next year, if it's announced, it's in Vegas. First of all, I know I'm not even going to get that much into it because I don't want to talk about businessy things because I just have opinions. But overall, I think Double or Nothing was fine. I think a lot of like the AW's over, AW needs to completely reinvent itself. I think a lot of that is like just over dramatized critiques and annoyingness. You know, Twitter spins itself into these frenzies all the time. I think this is one of those examples. It was fine. AW is not dead. AW does not need to reinvent itself. I think there are issues creatively. But AW has like a whole new creative team. And it's like every week we're getting a report that some other wrestler is like advising Tony Khan. So it's like, obviously there's going to be issues and they have to solve them. But there's a lot of promise in AW. I'm not mad about it. We're going to be fine. Everyone just needs to take a deep breath and just live with it. Just shh.
Oh, I love that. Very like meditative, you know? I like that.
We could do like ASMR. Like I could critique AW and just like ASMR it.
People would pay for that, probably.
I don't know if I would want them to. Something about that feels a little bit weird. That's what I'm saying. I'm a little bit like weirded out about that, not gonna lie. I do like ASMR cameos. I'm like,
hello. I love ASMR.
So. I don't. It freaks me out.
Really?
Like someone whispers and I like feel like they're on me.
But is it just like the voice whispers or like can you do like the other sounds like tapping? You
know? I love present wrapping, like the sounds of paper folding.
Yeah.
I love knives on a cutting board. I love that, just like so rhythmic. And I love maybe not like keyboard clicks, but like clicks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love those. But like anything with the mouth. Like I know people like the chewing ones. I'd rather die.
Although I do like the slime ones where they put like the slime and stuff over the mic. Like I like the like popping. I don't know, it's just something in my brain.
I do like slime videos. Like you know on TikTok where there'll be like a story time or something and then a slime video. I love those. Because my brain can just zoom in on
you, page, Kylie.
it's for the ADHD folks.
Really is.
For the ADHD folks, I'm sorry. It's just how it is. But don't expect an ASMR channel anytime soon, guys. I don't know if I could do it.
Moral of the story, basically.
Moral of the story. Did we talk about everything we wanted to talk about?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, what an efficient little show.
And look, we got it done in a little over an hour, but you know what? Last week was two, so.
Listen, and we could talk. We could keep talking about the Elite, but like.
We could.
I don't know if people want a two-hour Elite show. You guys, if you want a two-hour Elite show, let us know, and we can do that for you. I don't know how. I don't know.
All I'm saying is, and I'm just.
Oh my god, we didn't talk about the butterfly jeans.
Oh. Okay, what can I say before we get to that?
Yeah.
When Ibushi shows up, I need you guys to know that Charlie, she's the other Elite girly. Is definitely coming on Tag Talk for that. And it probably will be 2 hours. So.
We're a special breed. And when that happens, we have to band together. There's no one like me, you, and Charlie when it comes to this stuff. It's just insanity. But, like, we're always right. Which is the funniest part of it all. Yeah. But, anyway, Hangman, Butterfly Jeans. Way back when. Hangman wore Butterfly Jeans. Haley and I went crazy over it. Haley wrote an article. It's on her Twitter. Go find it. You tweeted it, right?
I did. I tweeted it yesterday, too.
Go find it. Go read it. It was incredible. But this, that was back when the Hung Bucks were, like, maybe reuniting, maybe not, and Tag Talk was insane. But Hangman shows up. First of all, he comes out with the Elite to carry on. Incredible. He gets into the ring. Him and Kenny Omega are looking at each other, singing to each other.
Yes.
And I look down, and Hangman has butterflies on his jeans. And so I'm like, Haley, oh, my God, it's butterflies. And then I go back, you know, because I want to get a picture of the butterflies to show Haley that there actually are butterflies. There's 5 butterflies.
The last time I brought this up on Tag Talk, what was it? Like last August, I think. And I brought this up and people were like, Haley, you sound insane. And I was like, I know I do. But like, I also know that they do this stuff on purpose. And then I was like, okay, maybe it wasn't. But then, you know what? Last night really solidified it for me. And I was like, you know what? he did that for us. He really did. He really did. I loved it. And I loved that, well, first of all, they weren't matching, which I kind of want to see, like, matching gear. But I did like that the Bucks kind of had, like, the golden, like, tassel-y fringe. I like, shout out to Denise Cutler, by the way. That gear, probably some of my favorite Young Bucks gear that she's done so far, mm-hmm. Next to the all-out gear last year. But anyways, I liked that they had the fringe, the matching fringe with Hangman. Love that. Love that little detail.
It's, listen, we could do a whole fashion analysis of these, but it was a lot. It was a lot of fun to see Hangman like back with the Elite.
Yeah.
He took off the eye patch, which I don't know. Kenny was dressed as like Captain Canada.
Yeah,
and Hangman was giving me Thor vibes. I'm just saying.
I mean, Kenny did say on, I think it was last week's BTE or something, he called him Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
With the eye patch. So, you know what? Maybe they're just the Avengers.
I think that's what we're going for. I think it really is.
I'm into it.
Which is, I mean, that makes Ibushi Bucky Barnes. Oh my God. There's, oh my God. We cannot talk about this right now. We'll go for 4 hours.
We have to do a whole Elite Marvel analysis crossover now.
Listen, I feel, oh my God, my mind is spinning. I am connecting the dots. And it's like, oh my God, Nick Jackson is Hulk and Matt is Iron Man. Because he's just, you know, fights and bites.
Well, and you know what, too? Matt has talked about, you know, all of the, like, stuff that he's gotten, you know, injected and stuff into him. So, you know what? That makes sense. For, yeah. You know what? Okay.
You're following it. You're seeing the
video. A little.
Listen, Nick can't be anybody but Hulk. Okay. Not be, just because he's, like, he's just there to, like, murder.
Well, and you know what? I get it, too, because, like, there's Bruce and then there's Hulk, right? So, like,
yeah.
There's Feral Nick and then there's, like, Everyday Nick. I get it.
And you remember I think it was last week when you made a joke. What if Nick, like, knows everything that's going on and he just pretends he doesn't?
It's Bruce Hulk. Yeah. You know what? We cracked the case. We really did.
Oh, my God. And it probably has nothing whatsoever to do with the Avengers, but, like, no, I'm going to believe
we're
it.
We're just being stupid.
We really are being stupid, but you know what? That's part of the fun of wrestling, I feel like.
Absolutely.
And Cody Rhodes is Homelander. the good old days.
Anyway, I loved their entrance. I loved seeing them all come out together. Seeing them in a lineup together again made me shed tears. And I'm not even trying to be dramatic. But, like, I kind of did.
I kind of did, too. It's okay.
Okay, well, I'm glad I wasn't alone.
Listen, it's like when the Elite returned and they did Carry On, I sobbed. Full on sobbed. You can ask Jackie from Elite POV, anyone from Elite POV, because they were sitting next to me. I sobbed the whole time. I couldn't even watch the match because I was crying. And I'm not embarrassed about it. And then this time it's like Carry On again and it's like a significant moment. Of course I cried. But I was really, really pleased with it. I love the Elite and the symbolism and the effort they put into the story. And I'm excited for the next chapter.
Yes. And I also wanted to say, I wrote a part two to the butterfly thing. I was literally up until like 3:30 in the morning, just typing away at my computer. So I wrote a part two. Kind of everything from last August to now. And then a little bit of the future, and like the possibility of Ibushi coming in. And I talked about kind of how Hangman wears these pants with the butterflies when there's like a big turning point in the story. Like last time it was kind of the rebirth of his relationship, his brotherhood, you know, with the Bucks. Now... It's interesting, you know, they're reunited, Takesha, Dawn, turned. Like, what's next? You know. So I kind of like that he does that. I don't know if that's intentional or not, or if I'm just reading too much into that. But I kind of like. I'm gonna believe that in my head. Okay, in my head canon, that's why he wears those.
And well, it has to be because he never wears them anytime else.
And there are five butterflies. So, like, is it Ibushi?
It has to be.
A big turning point in the story. Exactly.
Listen. When I saw those five butterflies, because I was expecting four, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm just saying.
I wasn't wearing my glasses, so I couldn't see. And then Kylie told me that, and I started spiraling from then on.
I know you did. I just meant it. Miles away, but I could feel the energy.
It was really bad. Anyways.
Do you have any final thoughts?
My final thoughts. Honestly, I don't. I think I said all my kind of final thoughts throughout the episode. But they just weren't final, you know?
If the fifth butterfly was Takeshita, I
would... Wow! I don't even want to think about that. I'll cry.
Also, your first time... seeing you two. Can't wait for the next show. Yeah. Thank you. We have a really great community here, guys. And I just want to say that.
Very positive. We love it. It's the best part of our week, generally.
Yeah. And I feel like, listen, sometimes, you know, you get some bad people in the chat. But I love that you guys, you make sure everybody knows that they're bad people if they're ever in there. And I love that about you guys. And then I just block them and we move on. But we really do love you guys. And I love that you sit here and listen to us ramble.
Especially for the last 20 minutes.
Listen, so sometimes I listen to other wrestling podcasts and they're like so business and like so concise and stuff. And Tag Talk is like just insane. It's like butterflies and rainbows. And and then it like it's doom and gloom and crying. And then it's like, oh my God. But actually, Kenny Omega is baby girl. And then... And you guys just love it.
Yeah. And, you know, I love it, too. I love that we've created this community and there's no judgment. It's a judgment-free zone. You know, we all kind of accept each other's opinions and viewpoints and all that kind of stuff. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I kind of interrupted your final thoughts.
I didn't have any, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. So... Oh, well, I mean, you can do your plugs, and then I'll do my final thoughts and plugs.
Okay, well, you know, you guys can follow me on Twitter, at HayleeAnn_. I'm finishing, I'm finalizing stuff for the cookbook, and I did find out that it's going to be on Amazon. So, I will post the link when that's live, but we're kind of finalizing the edits and stuff for that right now. But I'll let you guys know. I'm also... working on something this week. I've been teasing it for a couple weeks, I know, but this week it's gonna happen, so stay tuned to my Twitter for that too. Yeah, pretty much just follow me on Twitter for basically anything I'm doing, because I always tweet.
My final thoughts are Double or Nothing was not as bad as you guys made it, as some people made it seem. Yes. I'm really excited for the future of AEW. Let's go for Forbidden Door. You can follow me on Twitter at @Fuller_Kylie. It was everything I'm doing there. There are some things that I don't know when they're coming out, but I filmed a couple things this week with other people, so I'll tweet about them. You can find them there. And also, this is Fightful Overbooked. If this is your first time on Fightful Overbooked, hi. There's so many great shows on this channel. Like, you just go explore and you'll find like the most, in my opinion, the most incredible wrestling media available. Like, Fightful Overbooked is my favorite place. It's such a, and we're all just great people, and it's such a close group. So subscribe to Fightful Overbooked, and welcome to Tag Talk. This is a show we normally talk about tag team wrestling. This was a little chaotic because we are, you know, big, big elite fans, and we spiral. But that's okay, because we do it every week. But we cover, you know, tag team wrestling in general across promotions, not just AEW. So if you liked that sort of thing, subscribe to Fightful Overbooked, like this video, and comment below. Tell me your thoughts. I want to know. Well, first of all, I want to know, do you think the fifth butterfly was Ibushi or Takeshita? That's important. And also, hashtag boycott Cinnabon. Let's start the movement. Let's get it going. Tweet it on Twitter. Let the people know how you feel. We're starting a movement. All that being said, Tag Talk is live Monday, every Monday, 3 p.m. on Fightful Overbooked. Yeah. I think, did I cover everything in the blog?
Yeah. Live. You're the master of the plug, you know? You really are.
Yeah, and it's like I'm on autopilot, so when I finish it, my brain is like, did it go well? Did I do it? just follow us both on Twitter, and you'll always get everything you need. If you'll never miss a Tag Talk if you're following us. You'll never miss us on a show. We talk about our shows, everything we do, all the time on Twitter because we genuinely just love doing it, and it's a lot of fun. So you'll never miss anything. Thank you guys so much for joining us and being the best community ever. You guys are just honestly the best, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.